Whoa. See if I can find my outline here. And while I'm preparing that, I just heard news today that Debbie, the lady that's doing all our flower arrangement, just became a great aunt to a 8.1 pounds. Yeah, go ahead. It's worth clapping for. Yeah. Yeah, Carter Reed. From Parksville. So, I have a question. Is there more to Christianity than the forgiveness of sins? And is there more to Christianity than us receiving eternal life? So, in the next 15 minutes or so, we'll make it 20 maximum, I'll tell you what else is there. But let's pray, because heaven knows I need all the guidance I can get. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we could be together today for this fellowship to worship you. Give us the guidance. Thank you for all your blessings. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Do you guys know what this one is? Have you seen this? Brother Bear. It's a good one. It's a story about Kenai who turned into a bear. And then he was transformed later. And then he decided he doesn't want to be human, so he stayed a bear. Sorry, I spoiled it. I have another one. How about this? Classic. Beauty and the Beast. You know, all those, the teapot, the clock, and the beast, they all turn into something different towards the end of the movie, so I'm not going to spoil it this time. The reason I have this is if all else fail, then we can always watch a movie, right? So, Cinderella becomes a queen, okay? Pinocchio turns into what? A boy. What else? The ugly duckling, right there, becomes a beautiful swan. And of course, who remember Dorothy from Kansas? In her quest to go to the Land of Oz, she had three companions. The lion, the scarecrow, and the tin man. And then we know towards the end, the cowardly lion get his courage. And then the scarecrow got his brain. And then the tin man got his heart. So, well, that's one down. They all transform into the very things they never thought they could be. But the question is, why are we fascinated with all these stories? Why are we all fascinated with all these stories? And I cannot think of anything, especially if you watch Disney movies, it's either a damsel in distress and there's a hero rescuing. That, isn't it? That's always the theme of the movie. And then, or else you get some enchanted land or something, and then they turn into something. I think it's always like that. But why is that though? Why is it essential part of every great story? And we all love it. Move that one there. Well, it is essential because I think that is the secret to Christianity. And I think it's not far-fetched to say that Christianity is the secret to the world. So, in the book of John chapter 3, we all know that. I just put one verse there because that's the highlight of what I'm going to talk about this morning. And this is about, before we get to verse 7, this is about Nicodemus, who is a Pharisee, a religious teacher. He heard something about this Jesus his teaching is radical. I mean, it's just different. But because he is a Pharisee, he teaches religion, for goodness sake, so he doesn't want to be seen during the day, so he came to Jesus by night. And then he asked, how can a man be born when he is old? That's, we're now going to verse 5. So how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter his mother's womb and be born again? So, and then Jesus said, you must be born again. And what's that supposed to mean anyway? We all know, born again. I have to refer to these notes because it's very important. This is very important because the joke said that if you don't get this, instead of being born again, you will be burned again. So I have to refer to my notes. So the new birth is an instantaneous experience which occurs when the Holy Spirit leads a person to understand that Jesus Christ died for our sins, and if we put our trust in Him, then that is the start of the new birth. And we are born again. This is the ticker. We are born again the moment we accept that Jesus is the only one who can redeem us. And then we confess that Jesus is our Lord and Savior. That's really it. That's being born again. So that's a very important concept to understand, because there's a lot of people who are saying born again, and sometimes you don't even know what's the difference between a born again and somebody who is not born again. It's hard to tell the difference sometimes. But it's an experience. For those of us who have been here for a while, it's some kind of reviewer. That is the message of the gospel, isn't it? Like, from the book of Matthew all the way to the New Testament, that's always the message of the gospel. And for example, Zacchaeus, we know Zacchaeus, like the short guy. He's not good because he's a corrupt tax collector. And the moment that he invited Christ in his house, everything changed. He became Zacchaeus, the honest one. He actually even offered that if he messed up with somebody, he will return it 3 times, 4 times. And then also Mary, some said the prostitute in the Bible, right? She's the lady that poured that alabaster oil that caused a year's wage pay to wash the feet of Jesus with that kind of thing. You probably remember that one. So she actually became Mary, the true faithful servant of Christ. In fact, she was the one when Christ resurrected from the dead. She was actually there. To me, that's something special, right? And then Paul of Tarsus. He was a lawyer, and his job is to kill Christians. And then on his way to Damascus, that's when he met the Lord Jesus Christ. And then from being a killer of Christian, he actually became the great Apostle Paul, who just wrote half of the book of the New Testament. So something happened to this people when they met the Lord Jesus Christ. So my question to you is, how about you when you met the Lord Jesus Christ? Is there something that happened in your life? Maybe some will say, I'll rephrase the question. Were you transformed when you met the Lord Jesus Christ? Sometimes that's hard to answer because it's hard. Because we keep hearing this one, because we keep hearing all this teaching that, you have accepted Christ, you have eternal life, but your heart is still there. It takes a while for you to change your heart. And so, that's what, isn't it? That's sometimes we hear those. But in the Bible, it says that once you met the Lord Jesus Christ, there's the transformation that happened. So sometimes it, because of that, we get all this, we hear all this teaching that it takes a while for the heart to transform. Then sometimes it takes a while for a Christian. It takes a lifetime for them to change. And then, of course, when we see them, it's mostly like behavioral modification or something. Because now that you have Christ, we change a bit, but our heart really hasn't changed. So now we know how to recite the Lord's Prayer. Now we can now control our anger for the most part. Right? But that's still not the same, right? So the problem with that one is, as long as we believe that our hearts remain untouched and unchanged, it will remain untouched and unchanged. Because that's what it says in the Bible in Proverbs chapter 23. It says, "For what a man thinks in his heart, so is he." That's the reason why sometimes transformation takes a lifetime, because if we think that, that will take a while for me to do, like, it's like you don't have the will to change. And so that's why sometimes transformation takes a long time. Sometimes you've been a Christian for 20 years, but you haven't really changed, because there is that, I can't just change my heart right away. So we know that something, why do we need to change anyway? We know that something is wrong with us. Something has gone wrong with humanity. And just watch the news. Like what? Black kids shot by white cops, and white cops shot by a sniper, and then the Munich thing. So we know that something is not right. That's why we don't need a psychologist, or we don't need a pastor to tell us that something is wrong. We know that something is wrong. That's why we need to change. Because I believe that most misery in this world is the fruit of the human heart gone bad. And the scripture is very clear on that. Yes, God created us into his own image, or to reflect his glory. But then, chapter 3 into the book of Genesis, we barely made it. We already got kicked out of the garden. Right? That's only chapter 3. We torpedoed that project. And then, by the 6th chapter of Genesis, we continued a downward spiral to the point that, oh, I can't take this anymore. In Genesis chapter 6, it says, "The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on earth had become, and that every inclination of thought, his heart was only evil. The Lord was grieved that he had made man on the earth, and his heart was filled with pain." Yeah, it's sad, isn't it? That's actually the first time in the Bible that God's heart was mentioned. He says that his heart was broken because ours was fallen. That's only Genesis chapter 6. So any honest person knows that something has gone wrong with us. But of course, the usual remedies is some sort of behavioral modification. You do this, you do that. That's usually the remedy, right? Like in my profession, that's treating the symptoms, not the disease. Like, I'm nauseous. Oh, just take some gravel. You'll be fine, right? But why are you nauseous? I'm not pregnant, that kind of thing. So it's, we are misdiagnosing the problem. So the Jewish faith, they have, the prescription is, you just obey the law. thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, the Ten Commandments. And then the Muslim faith, their prescription is the five pillars of the Muslim faith, like the, I can't remember them all, prayer, fasting, going to Mecca. I can't remember the rest. Probably you can Google it. But there's five. Those are the five pillars of the Muslim faith. That was the prescription. And then the Buddhists, their prescription is the Eightfold Path to Enlightenment. Right mind. They have eight. And then, of course, Christians, what's our prescription? Church attendance. Right. And then, what else is our prescription other than church attendance? Moral living, right? That's the usual prescription. But the problem with that is we've been doing it. That's been there for thousands of years, and yet, well, we're still not right. Something is still not right. We're still killing each other. There's still no world peace. In fact, it's actually getting worse. But if we have all this prescription doing the right thing, then why are we still killing each other? Why are we still hating each other? So, the problem is not our behavior. The problem is in us. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 19, it says, "For out of the heart comes evil thought, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander, and yada, yada, yada." So, God makes us, because of that, well, Christ came. He died on the cross. That's no brainer. We put our trust in Him, we become born again. And then He forgave us of our sins. So, and then what else happened there? God also makes us into a totally new person, not by assigning us religious rituals, just like what I said, the Eightfold Path, the Five Pillars, church attendance, moral living. It's not that. But in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, whoops. "Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things pass away. Behold, new things have come." So that's, okay, let's review. You must be born again. This is the instantaneous spiritual experience that we experience when we receive the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, so what else in the cross? Forgiveness of our sins. We have eternal life. And then the third one is our transformation. Because if you don't transform, sometimes it's kind of, as I said before, it's hard to tell the difference between somebody who's professing a Christian and somebody who's not. There has to be something to prove that you are a Christian. One time, there was this cute thing in Facebook. Facebook is the one that when you're over 30, you use Facebook. When you're under 30, you use Instagram. Okay. It says, if somebody accuses you of being a Christian, make sure they have plenty of evidence. It's kind of cute, right? So it's from Facebook. By the way, you have to join Heaven Bay have a Facebook page. Right, so there's a lot of stuff in there. Announcement, young people goofing up. It's if you haven't joined it, we have our own Facebook page. So, 2 Corinthians 5:17, new creation. What does that mean? So, the new birth is an experience. Well, what's a new birth? That's exactly what it is. New beginning, right? And then, so after we experience new birth, He then gives us His nature by sending His Holy Spirit to indwell us, to reflect, and that's that. And then the Holy Spirit does the magic. The Holy Spirit indwells us and transforms us into His likeness. So without the Holy Spirit, you can't change. That's why sometimes you can tell if a person is faking Christianity or not. There is a situation there in the book of Matthew. I can't remember exactly where. When Jesus went to the temple and He went ballistic. Remember that scene? But before that, they stopped in the vineyard, and then He saw this tree and said, "I'm hungry." And then there's no fruit, and then He cursed it. Yeah, God cursed too. Remember that one? It's in the book of Matthew. And to me, I mentioned it before that when you look up and you say there's no fruit, well, what's the point of saying, "I'm hungry, where's your fruit?" I mean, can't you not see that there's no fruit? But apparently, I looked this up, and at that time, the theme is cleansing of the temple. Okay? And I look it up. During that time, all the fruit, every tree in that part of the world, they only have fruit buds. But the Bible said that this tree, it's ready to go. But then there's no fruit. And then God cursed it. And then, that's a little bit dumb. Because why don't you just look up and there's no fruit? And why do we ask for that? So, but this is the application I came up with. That because the theme is cleansing, He went to the temple to cleanse it, they went ballistic, is that you can only fake your Christianity for so long. You might have a lot of knowledge about the Bible, it would appear that you got everything. Actually, you're more knowledgeable than everybody else in the church. But if you're not born again, if you don't have that experience of Christ in your heart, I mean, one of these days you will be discovered, and I hope it's not too late. To me, that is the application of that. I can't remember exactly what where in Matthew is that one. So, keeping the law, following the rules, polishing up our manners, none of that will do. What count is, in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, if we change into a new creation, that's what matters really. And the ugly duckling becomes a beautiful swan. I love this one because I keep reading it to James when he was little. So he turned into a beautiful swan, although he was an ugly duckling. He was odd when he was growing up. The Holy Spirit is already in us. It's already indwelling us. All we have to do is to let Him do its job. But sometimes we try to micromanage it. There was a picture back then. I don't know if you remember this one. There was a picture of a heart, and then there was a throne in the middle. And then the Holy Spirit is at the bottom, and the self is in the middle. It's the one sitting on the throne. I don't know if you remember that one, but that's a good representation of what's happening to us. Sometimes we don't want to change. We don't want the Holy Spirit to do its job, so we micromanage it. No, not yet. I'm not ready to give that up, but everything is there for your transformation. It's there. It's the Holy Spirit that will do its magic. Because it said that the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, that kind of thing. So we already have the tool. And now it's up for us to let the Holy Spirit do its thing. So there is more to the cross than the forgiveness of our sins. And actually, we don't need an upgrade. We need a transformation. And with that, thank you for listening. Told you it's 20.